Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are continuing our series on divine guidance. And last week we started talking about the need for divine guidance. And one of the things we want to look at in general is that this need for divine guidance is set by God. He wants us to need to seek Him. If He wanted us to know everything without having to seek Him, He would simply give us the information. Instead, He hides Himself. He withdraws so we will seek Him and want Him. He wants to be wanted. He wants to be acknowledged as God, as the meter of our needs. If we don't think we need Him, we aren't open to Him in that area. And a lot of times we think we need Him for big things. We need Him for, you know, when there's a crisis in our lives or there's a big decision to be made. Who are we going to marry? What job are we going to take? But He also wants us to know that we need Him for every little decision, for every breath. That doesn't mean we sit around and wait for Him for every little breath we take. But we learn to be aware of His presence and His drawing, partially through seeking divine guidance, so that as we go about our day, if He does want to direct and guide us, it is easy for Him to get our attention. So we acknowledge that we are being trained by Him and brought into dependence on Him as part of that training. And our need for guidance is part of our education. Your spirit, who you truly are as a spirit being, already has all the information that you already have all the information you need to make any decision you may need to make. And you already know the outcome of those decisions. So the problem of decision making does not fall to being a spiritual issue, but a solical, supernatural issue. So He withdraws Himself into spirit so that we will seek answers there, rather than trying to rely on ourselves, our soul, for the little things and then only seek God for the big things. He wants us to be in a constant mode of being available, of being in His presence, acknowledging His being, His presence, His omnipresence, His personal presence, His manifest presence. He makes Himself known to us in whatever way He decides is appropriate for any given time. Now, He does that according to His time and in His own way. So it's not always going to be a church-type situation. It may be very practical that he makes our needs unfulfillable without him. And in fact, we want to stop trying to fulfill our own needs, our own need for direction, our own need for guidance, any other needs we might have. And once we understand that those needs are a great way that God draws us, we can join him and turn those needs into opportunity. Where you wonder, okay, what should I do? Should I accept this position from, or should, is now a good time to go to the grocery store? Any decision, any thought, which movie should I watch? What should I, you know, somebody asks you out to go do something. Lord, is this something that would be good? Am I available for this? And we learn to do that in such a split second where it's just we are aware of his either an agreement in the spirit or a holding back in the spirit, where we may say, yes, that sounds great, let's go do that, or, you know, let me check into that and I'll get back with you later, or, no, I'm not going to be able to make it. And it may not be based on anything that we are aware of. And sometimes we never know. God may say, no, I don't want you to do that. And you may never know why. Now, in your spirit, you do. But in your soul, you may never know why he did not want you to do something or he did want you to do something. A lot of times we think, well, if God says to go do something, he's going to want me to evangelize or he's going to want me to, you know, make it about him. No. Everything's about him. So we don't have to make anything about him. The point is that when we are instead focusing on divine guidance, we are instead increasing our awareness of his presence and his intervention in our life. We simply see the need for divine guidance as opportunity, where we need his input, hopefully on everything, but rather than it being based on big things. I have a big decision I need to ask God. No, everything. Now, there's going to be times when he wants to talk to you and he wants you to come away from what you're doing and separate yourself. And very often he does use those big decisions to deal with us on bigger issues, on changing our beliefs, on healing an area, on getting our attention. So we understand that God reveals himself in whatever way he chooses and draws us in whatever way he chooses. And sometimes he treats big things as if they're little things, and sometimes he treats little things as if they're big things. And he can do whatever he wants. Our goal, and again, if we understand this, we can join him and cooperate and enjoy the process, enjoy the training much more, recognizing that our need for direction, for guidance, is opportunity. So our need for divine guidance, we remind ourselves that God's goal for us is not to be in his will. You're already in his will. Your spirit is 100% in his will. Your spirit can't get out of his will. So we don't have to worry about missing him, about being out of his will. We'll talk later about consequences of ignoring the process, but not being out of his will. So the need for divine guidance is not about being in or out of his will, but about learning to be dependent on him, to reveal that will to our soul. Not just to us, but through us, as we impact our circumstances on a moment-by-moment basis. God is real to us now. He is sitting next to you right now. He is all around you right now. He is communing with you right now. He is answering every question you've ever had right now. But our soul is so disconnected from what our spirit is experiencing. And God wants to rectify that. He wants us complete, spirit, soul, and body. Now, here are some ways we know that this is God's intent for us. You know, that God wants us to seek him for direction and guidance. Here's some good evidence that that's the way he has this set up. First, God has committed himself to our care, providing for us and meeting all of our needs. There's no place in your life that he says, okay, I'm taking care of this part. The rest of it is all on you. So knowing his committed love for us, we can rest in confidence that whatever methodology he chooses, however he chooses to do this at any given time, the end result of our lesson will accomplish his goals. His goals. And a lot of times we think the goal should be getting the answer. Lord, which way should I go? That's the goal, is to find out. Not necessarily. Because that may really not be what you need. That really may not be the issue at hand. That may just be what God used to get your attention. And since he has committed himself to meeting your need, the answer may not be at all related to your need for guidance. Another piece of evidence that this is what God has intended is that throughout the ages, God himself has provided a variety of means of direction and guidance according to different situations, different ways he relates to us. We know that throughout time, God's purposes match up with his relationship with his creation. Each age includes a means by which the Lord communes with humankind. So throughout time and throughout different manifestations or revelations of God, he has determined how relationship works. He's the one who gets to set the boundaries. Man doesn't come up and say, okay, God, when I call, you're going to answer. Now, God may say, when you call, I will answer. But there's no time when man gets to dictate the boundaries or the relationship rules. In this present age, the New Testament age, God communes with us by and through his Son. And by that, when we are reborn in spirit, we participate in everything that the Son experienced. And we are born again. And because the Son now is in communion with the Father, we too experience that same communion with him. And in our soul have the potential to commune with the Father just as Jesus did and does. So just as Jesus is one, spirit, soul, and body, we too can be. And God has made it through his Son, has made that possible, that we can be one, spirit, soul, and body, and one in him. So through the Son, we are one with the Father. As the Son said, the Father and I are one. That's true for us too. For now, it's only spiritually. Now, on the other hand, all things are one with him. But on another, our soul and our body are not experiencing that same level of rest and comfort and life, eternal life. But that's what he's drawing us towards. He wants us to experience that. Now, another way we know that for us to seek his divine guidance is one of the ways God gets our attention is that we are unable to know the ways of God without his help. We can't figure God out. We can't make him reveal himself to us. He reveals himself on his terms, in his ways, and he makes us able to know him. He makes us able to want him. If you ever have any desire to know him better, or in a certain area, or in a certain way, if you're even curious about a certain aspect of who God is, that came from him. And he doesn't tease us. If you seek, you will find. It may not be what you were seeking, but you'll find him. Though our spirit is already in perfect communion with God, perfect agreement, perfect alignment and compliance with God's present purpose and plan for our life, it is only through his work in us that our flesh is consumed, our self-life, and our soulical senses are tuned to know his voice in our consciousness. He frees us from our flesh, from our crutches, from our beliefs. He heals our wounds. We cooperate with him. Now, there's things that we do learning to be sons of God, learning to be co-inheritors and joint heirs. But it's through dependence on him. Now, because we are joint heirs and co-inheritors with Christ, those things that he did do, that Jesus did do on this earth, we participate with. He overcame the world system. And he overcame the devil and his angels. So we can simply learn how to do that. We've already done it. Now we just need to learn how to do that. But Jesus never had any crutches. He never developed any flesh. He never lived out of the strength of his soul. He was always dependent upon his Father. So this is something we have to experience for ourselves. strictly through dependence on God. This is not something that we inherited, something we work through with God one-on-one. And your experience is going to be totally different than anybody else's. This is part of the problem, is that nobody else can do this for you. Nobody's walked your way before. It's not that you're on your own, but you're going on your own. Your path is your own. But he has exactly what you need in front of you to get you going in the place you need to go. And the results he has for you are exactly what you need and what will satisfy you. It is only through his work that our flesh is consumed and our soulical senses tuned to know his voice in our consciousness. He wants to reveal himself. Now, he can do that any time. He can reveal himself to your physical, your natural senses. But he wants to draw your soul, your soulical senses, into being not just turning away from what's going on in the natural, but there is so much going on in the supernatural realm and the spiritual realm that we have so long neglected. Our senses need to be retuned, refined, made new. So this is part of the process, that he reveals himself in ways that we can't express to anybody else or learn from anybody else. It's something we must experience ourselves. It's like trying to explain to somebody what chocolate ice cream tastes like. You know, something, if you've never experienced snow, try to describe that to someone. Or have that. There are certain things we have to experience for ourselves. And that's what God wants us to accept, that he takes the responsibility for our training in this area, just as in any other area. Now, he does this not so we can have something to train, to teach other people, not so we can start a ministry, or not so we can correct what's going on in our circumstances or in our life or in our nation. He corrects and fine-tunes our soulical senses, heals our wounds, because he loves us. He's going to do that in your life because he loves you. That's who he is. And in your spirit, you've already received that love and that fulfillment. But God will not be satisfied until it's fully complete in you, until you are one, spirit, soul, and body. Also, knowing God, that this is his idea about he withdraws himself and asks us to seek him for divine guidance, is because he's proven it throughout history that depending on God for guidance works. If depending on him for guidance wasn't something he wanted us to learn how to do, if it wasn't something God wanted us to experience, seeking, waiting, and depending on him would not have an effect. And we would be left to make decisions the same way unbelievers do. And unfortunately, that's so often what believers do. So they take the same tack. They go to leaders. They go to other people. They turn to, how many Christians, read horoscopes, go to psychics, prophetic people. We look to the same kind of resources that non-believers do. when we have the creator of the need within us. This is why it's important that we understand God's overall intention. It's not about answering your question. It's about getting your attention. It's about fulfilling your true needs and changing you. Now, the more you are changed, the more you will participate in what God is doing in your life. A lot of times we think that if we knew all the answers to these problems, life would be easier. That's just not necessarily true. God has circumstances set aside for you to accomplish his purposes. And for some, those circumstances are easier, and some, they're harder. There's no way to predict what God has set aside for you other than to know that it will accomplish the purposes that you've already agreed to. We've talked many times before about how our spirit is already fully aware and is already fully agreed to everything that God is doing in our life. And that the real focus of both God and our spirit is that wall of separation between our spirit and our soul. So finally, the final piece of evidence that this is the way God wants us to get our divine guidance is that God encourages and corrects us when we fail to wait for his counsel. Over time, and we can all point to times in our lives that we've experienced this, there are practical consequences for both learning to wait and failing to wait. Now, those consequences are not necessarily proof, as there may be other factors, and that's, again, we have to go back. We don't want to draw conclusions. You know, Lord, did I miss you here? You know, maybe we sought him, we thought we had an answer, and some negative consequences happened. We don't want to say, well, since negative consequences happened, we must have missed him. No. We learn easily to recognize the benefits of learning to wait for his counsel. But because so many of us come negatively programmed, we are much more sensitive to the negative consequences of independence rather than the positive fruit of abiding. Again, these are things that God wants us to experience on a personal level. And even to look for areas in our life, Lord, are there areas in my life that we can use as an opportunity to sharpen my senses, for me to learn how to depend on you more? The more we embrace every day as opportunity to depend on him, the more every day we not necessarily avoid bad issues, but we gain confidence. Our vision of our life is changed, and we see things more and more from his perspective. He wants us one with him. He wants to share what he's doing in our life with us. But responsibility comes with that, sharing. And until we see things from certain levels of truth in reality, he's not able to share what he's doing in our lives. So this all starts with that confidence that he loves you. And if there's an area where you're not sure that that's true, ask him to reveal that and deal with you about that, because that's a real poignant wound that needs to be healed. It all starts not with about you having to measure up, but about how much he loves you. So we'll pick it up here next week. Until then, you can drop me a line at Diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Till next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.